B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub, here in the Town Fair Tire Studio, in a snowed-in Dorchester, Massachusetts. No, the meteorologist blew it again. No Chris Gasper today for just joining the show. He is out covering the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, so you just have yours truly here until 2 o'clock. Then Matt McCarthy is going to come on for a bit. Got Mike Sarge-Reilly alongside as well. And I want to just reset this because I said this at 11 o'clock when I started the show today. I'm trying to do something a little bit different today just to keep myself entertained because Chris isn't here. And he's usually my foil. Boy, he's an easy laugh. I'm trying to stick to a theme for the show today. And it is a motif, if you will. And the theme is common sense, level-headedness. Specifically, the practice of common sense in what is an increasingly stupid world. It's something I try to live by. I'm not always successful with it. I have my blind spots. We all do. But with the way that the world is now, your crazy, angry right-wingers, your whiny PC babies just looking to get people in trouble on social media, they're so entrenched in their equally moronic points of view and so unwilling to budge. I am of the belief that it's more important than ever to try to practice common sense. It's not even hard to do. I swear, all you got to do, not get overly emotional. Again, I'm not perfect. Sometimes it happens to me, especially sitting with Felger and Mass. But you don't get overly emotional at the matter at hand. Take a step back. You take a deep breath. You think things through logically. And then you comment, and then you act. Use common sense. Get up for a woman or the elderly on the train. Hold the door for a stranger. Treat people in the service industry with respect. Don't give guns to teachers, you complete idiots. Use common sense. Cut Dwayne Allen. Use common sense. See, it can be applied to Boston sports stories, too. And I started by talking about the Robert Kraft story, which is still top of mind. 1 week later, I said to me, common sense, I understand it. We have defense lawyers for a reason. You have a defense. You want to try to clear your name. But common sense dictates the Robert Kraft story, dude, like to me, just own up to it. It'll go away. You want the story to go away, right? You don't want to hear your name attached to the words prostitution and Orchid Day Spa, Orchids of Asia Day Spa, right? Like, the quicker you cop to it, the quicker it goes away, in my opinion. That would just be applying common sense to it. You're still going to take the punishment, unfortunately, from the NFL because they have their standards that they apply to the players, the coaches. Same goes for the owners. So you're still going to take a hit there. But the public perception, I would think, to me, common sense would dictate. You just say, hey, I'm sorry, I'm human, I made a mistake. Poof, just goes away like that. People have short memories. And in terms of the team, with the off-the-field stuff, in terms of the offseason and some of the decisions they have to make, well, I thought cutting Dwayne Allen would be prudent, and that would be using common sense. And what do you know, in case you just missed it at the top of the hour, the Hub headlines with Sarge, they did just that. They cut Dwayne Allen. All right. We're using some thinking there in Foxborough as the head coach, and some of his confidants are now in Indianapolis looking at some of the fresh young meat that they can bring into this team next year. Belichick looking at some of the tight ends today. So good, okay. Maybe you draft a tight end, maybe a replacement for Rob Gronkowski if he walks off into the sunset. And at this point, I wouldn't blame him, but that would be using common sense for his own self, I would think, in terms of his well-being for his body and his mind. But Dwayne Allen, gone. I like it. And I also think it's going to lead to something else for the Patriots this offseason. That would be, guess what? Using common sense. And that is... I might be reading too much into this, but this is my theory. When I heard it, first I was happy because Dwayne Allen would have been making way too much money this year. It's over $6 million, which is insane. Good in the running game, yes, I will give you that, obviously. Like, my eyes work, I get it. He's a good blocker. But as a pass catcher, completely useless, as proven in the first pass thrown to him against Kansas City in that awful loss on the opening night a few years back. Useless. Making way, way too much money. The number had to come down, and according to the reports, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Sarge, they're talking about maybe bringing him back at a shorter money, right?
Correct.
Okay, so fine. But gone for now. Cutting him, and there's going to be more moves here. Like, someone else is going to have to go. Maybe it's Dante Hightower, who reportedly doesn't want to budge off his number of $11 million this year. Maybe it's Devin McCourty. Maybe it's Adrian Claiborne, because Claiborne and Allen together, if they cut them both, we're talking about near $11.5 million. You do that, get the Patriots over $31 million in room. Maybe someone else retires. Maybe Gronk retires. But right now, if that were to happen, we're talking about, you know, over $30 million in room to make some moves. This is setting up a Tom Brady extension. When I heard, after I really thought about it, after the giddy excitement of, yay, Dwayne Allen's gone, they freed up some room, this is what I think is going to end up happening here. And I'm not alone in this, because other people have written about it. But Allen, there's going to be another shoe to drop here, I would think, in the next few days. They free up more money, they're setting up a Tom Brady extension. And he's taken, obviously, you guys know this, he's taken way less money than any of the other suck quarterbacks throughout the league over the years. The cap in 2019, it's close to $30 million. His cap for 2019 is close to $30 million, $27 million. It's the final year of his deal. He wants to play until he's 45. I think he's steadfast with that, and based on his play, it looks like he's going to be able to do it. If they're going to continue to try to also, I don't know, shorten his workload, it feels like, in terms of how the offense ran last year, he can do it, but you got to extend him, and you got to make it right. And if you set up an extension for him, it does free up a little bit more money for you to make more moves this year. Allen going today? Common sense in terms of getting him out at his number, you know, over $6 million. But another thing's going to happen here where they're going to free up more, and this is setting up a Tom Brady deal, a Tom Brady extension. Common sense being used by the Patriots here. I like it. To you at 617-779-0985. Still a lot of Celtics calls left over from the Sports Hub Celtics show, so let's run through some of these. Josh in East Boston on Kyrie Irving. Hello, Josh.
Hi. First, before I get to my Kyrie Irving point, I think I've solved the Marcus Morris thing. It's definitely a parent trap situation. Him and his brother have switched places. on the Kyrie Irving side, I'm more curious about the overall big picture narrative about him. So when you talk about Kyrie Irving coming to the Celtics, the dude got everything he wanted, right? He's the leader of a top-tier market. He's playing for a storied franchise. He's got young talent. He's got veterans. He's got all-stars. If he can't make it work here, does this not affect his value on the open market? I know it's talent above everything else, but if I'm an owner of a franchise, how do I not look at how he's ostracized the market and just be a little afraid about signing him anywhere else?
Yeah, Josh, I would normally be with you, but and he just dropped. I'd normally be with you, but the team that he has been linked to the most is the New York Knicks, and they are owned by the biggest idiot owner, maybe in all of sports, in James Dolan, a man who's such a whack job that he's convinced himself he's a real blues musician. You know what I'm talking about, Sarge. I think it's JD in the Straight Shot, I believe. Like, I've sat back, and this is what a loser I am. Like, I don't know. It's the Schadenfreude thing with me. Like, I love it. I just love to watch other people fail. I'm a sick person. I make no apologies for it. But I've sat and watched JD in the Straight Shot videos on YouTube before because they're so mind-blowingly bad. And he has convinced himself, to his core, I'm good at this. I am as good of a blues musician as there's ever been on this planet. You could put me right up there with B.B. King. No, he's a whack job. So with all the trouble surrounding Kyrie Irving, that doesn't matter. He's a name. He's from that area. He puts asses in seats. And there's been some rumors that have bubbled up again recently about Dolan maybe selling the team off, and they would be better served to do that. But it doesn't matter. Like, talent trumps trouble in all the professional sports. But, you know, it's like 1-2 or 1A, 1B between the NBA and the NFL. Irving, for all his nonsense off the... And it's not... It's just he's a pain in the ass. He's a diva. It's not like he's, you know, running guns or selling drugs or anything god-awful like that, right? Like, he's just a pain in the ass. You deal with that. You find a way. But the Knicks, believe me, they'll turn a blind eye to just about anything as long as James Dolan is owning that team. JD in the Straight Shot. Watch the... you know what? I'll link to it, so you don't have to... I'll take the work out of it for you. There is one video. God knows how much money that they spent on this thing in terms of production value, where it's like him and his poor bandmates that are probably being held against their will. They do this video in a snowy landscape where he's singing this awful song. It's like you watch this thing and you're like, who thinks this is a good idea? That's the owner of the New York Knicks, James Dolan. He, the front man of JD in the Straight Shot. Dan in Cranston wants to talk about something that's gained a little bit of steam, and I don't know why, because people apparently didn't see the follow-up tweet as it pertains to the Patriots. Martellus Bennett can maybe come back to the Patriots. Go ahead, Dan.
You better shade me. What was the follow-up tweet?
He wrote trolling like about an hour later after he put up that video the other day.
Oh, that sucks. Well, next up. Well, either way, he was only 31, and injuries aside, you know, if they could talk him out of it and get him on short money, I'd take a flyer on him. Why the hell not? If Allen is gone, I mean, they were pretty good when they were together, Gronkowski and Bennett, the few times they played.
Oh, no, Dan, no doubt. And if he was willing to come back and it was, you know, a fair deal for both sides, I love Marty Bennett. I love him. He's wildly entertaining off the field as well. I think for him, if he's using common sense, again, that's the theme today, for himself, he's better served to, you know, be done with the NFL, continue to work on the Imagination Station, or is that what his company's called? But, you know, write comic books, do animation, do all that stuff. He's a creative type, you know. Satiate that need there and walk away from the league. And you made your money, dude. But the fan in me, sure, yeah, I'd love to have him back one more year. But he put that video up saying, like, you know, Gronk, you know, like, he's working out, and it seems like he's going to be coming back. And then he followed it up again with trolling. He's done.
Imagination Agency.
That's what it is, Imagination Agency.
Yeah, it's cool, though.
We have one open line. You want to join us here. Again, the theme is common sense, using rational thinking. We can apply it to sports as well. You know who's not been thinking rationally? The Kansas City Chiefs. Oh, well, we need to change the overtime rules because we didn't get the ball in overtime in the AFC Championship game. You morons. Let's not do this. We'll touch on this story coming up next year. Gasperless Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's very, very simple to me. Both sides should get an opportunity to touch the football no matter what. We all know that the strength of the Kansas City Chiefs is their offense. We know their defense stinks. So what I'm saying is, if you're Kansas City, any kind of success you had hoped to have to eradicate this dormant history of yours was predicated on your offense getting the football. And the fact that a coin toss is ultimately what lost it for you, because it prohibited your offense from getting the ball, because you know good and damn well your defense wasn't going to stop Tom Brady, is egregious. The NFL is changing stuff,
guys,
all the time.
Guys,
they should change
wait,
both sides can touch the ball.
That is Stephen A. Smith imploring the NFL to change the rules of overtime. He's not alone either. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Now it's actually picking up steam from actual teams. In fact, the team that felt the most burned by this, the fact that they didn't get the opportunity to score, the team that Stephen A. was just talking about there, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs and their general manager, along with head coach Andy Reid, are trying to change the rules. Funny. Have we seen this before? Indianapolis Colts, Bill Polian, back in the 2000s. When things don't go your way, well, we're just going to implore the league to change the rules because it was unfair. Stephen A., along with the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, anyone crying for the rules to be changed, and Mike Felger's one of these people as well, you're not using common sense here. You're not, it's a 50-50 coin toss. Make a stop. Defense doesn't matter anymore. The Patriots held one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL to 3 points in the Super Bowl. Defense does matter. Make a stop. Stephen A. yammering there. The Chiefs' defense sucks. Have a better GM. Make better personnel decisions. That's not my problem. That's a you problem. Don't change the overtime rules. And in my go-to is this always. So you mean to tell me, if you're like Stephen A. and Felger and these other people that want to see this changed, Kansas City Chiefs, you whiny babies. If you want to see this change, so you get the kickoff and you return it immediately for a touchdown, the game shouldn't end there. If you give up a touchdown on the kickoff to start the overtime, you should still get an opportunity to go score. Go F yourselves, you babies. You, oh my God. The rules don't need to change. If the Chiefs, here's the bottom line. Here, let's apply again the theme being common sense, rational thinking. Here, let's use it. And do you know how much it pains me to have to do this? Because as much of a Patriots fan as I am, they hate us because they hate us, and that thing, like, it's kind of nauseating. It is at this point, to me at least. But I'll be lockstep with you with this: if the Chiefs beat the Patriots in overtime, this would not be a discussion. Period. End of story. You know who blames the rules? Not just babies, sore losers. This would not be a discussion. No one cared about this before this game. People cared back when it was you could lose by a field goal. And that I was 100% with them. That the way that so that changed after the NFC Championship game in 09, a phenomenal game between the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. And Brett Favre's it up and has the backbreaking pick, sends that game into overtime. Saints go right down the field. They kick the field goal, and they're off to the Super Bowl against the Colts, right? Like that, while I was pulling for the Saints, there was part of that that was like, oh, that's dirty. Like, that should stop. And they fixed that, and that was appropriate. You shouldn't be able to win on your first possession by kicking a field goal. You shouldn't be able to do that. But to give a team another opportunity, to make a stop. That's it. Make a stop. And just think about that again, that scenario of kickoff to start overtime. Oh, and he's going to go all the way to the house. 99-yard kick return for a touchdown. Then you get an opportunity to be back out there. Oh, get the hell out of here. No, you deserve to lose. Make a stop. Use rational thinking. Use common sense. You're just mad it was the Patriots again. It's the people that are mad about this, you've had it. Like, how many times are the Patriots going to benefit from this? It's been three times. It's been three times during this near two decades, okay? That's it. It's the Super Bowl against Atlanta. It's the Snow Bowl against the Raiders. And then it's the AFC Championship game from this past season. Three times. What if it was on the other foot? Well, the Patriots defense would have sucked, and they would have deserved to have lost. And then we can, you know, get on Bill Belichick for some personnel decisions or whoever gave up the touchdown. Defense still works in this league. Super Bowl 53 just proved that. Use common sense. Don't change the overtime rules. To you, more Celtics calls left over from the Sports Hub Celtics show. Peter and JP, hi.
Guys, hi. I got a couple points. I think you're too hard on Gordon Hayward. When I watch the games lately, I think he's so important. I just watch him play. He is the point guard for the second unit. He's the guy that brings the ball up the court. He's playing with two of the worst passers in the NBA statistically. That's Terry Rozier, okay, and Jaylen Brown. He is wide open a lot of times at the three-point line. I mean wide open. Not one time, okay, Jaylen Brown or Terry Rozier has ever drove and kicked. I'd like to see him be a little more aggressive, you know, going to the basket. But, you know, that's a fact. No one's passing it to him because they can't pass. They suck at passing.
Yeah, but
and then real quick.
Just before you get to Marcus Smart, but would you admit, though, at least in these last couple of games where it's only five attempts, Peter, there's times where he's just straight up timid and doesn't want to shoot. Like, there's a tentativeness to his game that's been there, unfortunately.
A little bit. I agree with you a little bit. But he was plus 16 in the Portland game. He was plus one last night. He's the only guy on the bench that would have plus figures. I just think that there are some circumstances where he looks worse than he really is in terms of taking shots. And then Marcus Smart, you got to lay off him. He's shooting 36.5%. Take almost as good as Tatum. He's better than Horford, Hayward, Al, Rozier. He's better lately than Marcus Morris. He's a lot better than Jaylen Brown. The only guys that are better than him are Kyrie and Daniel Tice. So, I mean, he's shooting almost 37%. I think you got to lay off him a little bit.
Oh, Peter, and thanks for the call. There's times where he's lights out, and there's other times, and it feels more often than not, where it's, I'm sorry, sorry, not sorry. It's no Marcus, no. Yes, now seventh all-time on the Celtics three-point list. And as mentioned earlier from Nick Fryer, who wrote for USA Today, if he stays at this pace, by the end of his contract, he will pass Larry Bird. I know it's bombs away. We live in a three-point world now in the NBA, so it's a little bit skewed, but that's just gross to me. Man, is he confident in that shot. Let's see. Let's go to John in Plymouth, as I was talking about the overtime rules. What say you, John?
Hey, Murray. Honestly, like, you're kind of on point with me. I think that what Stephen A. said and what people have been talking about changing the rules is completely just saltiness, that they didn't get the Kansas City young gun like Rams Super Bowl. I mean, if you have home field advantage and you get held – and that offense gets held to 3 points in the first half, and Brady throws a pick on the 1 yard line, and it even goes to overtime, they didn't deserve to win. So the fact that people are kind of just like saying that it's kind of a crap that they don't get to go, that they didn't get the ball, is just people that wanted that kind of Super Bowl.
Yeah, John, thanks for the call. So, like, the other part of the argument is, well, don't you want to see the best players out on the field? And don't you want to see Patrick Mahomes get an opportunity? Again, no, I still like defense in what has been a watered-down NFL. Thankfully, it mattered. I loved that Super Bowl. I find it wildly entertaining because defense mattered. So, yes, you still have superstars, even though your defense sucked statistically, Kansas City. You still have stars there. You have Justin Houston. You have Dee Ford. You have who lined up in a neutral zone, but, not the brightest player, but still can be a force when he's not dumb. You had Eric Berry back. You have stars. Your stars are out on the field. You want to make your argument for stars? They're stars. Make a play. Make a stop. Changing the overtime rule. I'm mad because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know it is. And I hate that. God. Ugh. That stupid sport still has me over a barrel, too. No matter how much they change it, water it down, and make it just a shadow of what it used to be, they still got me. The hooks in this big, dumb fish's mouth. But I hate it. And again, you would not have heard a peep about this if it went the other way. Ed and Whitman, hello. Eddie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call. I completely agree. If the Patriots had lost in overtime, it was the other way. No one's talking about this. It's all a Patriots rule. That's my first point. Second point is Adam Jones sucks. Thanks a lot, guys.
Oh, thanks, Ed. Jones, I love him. In fact, the uglier the Celtics loss, the more it's appointment listening to me. I become an immediate P1. It's a radio term. Like post-Celtics loss, I immediately tune into Jones and Arcan because I know it's going to be informative, mean, and hysterical, mm-hmm. all combined. I love Jones. But hey, you want to have someone feel something. Hate is a good thing, too. You get into this business, you just don't want people to be neutral. Take that advice there, Sarge, because I know you've dealt with a rash of crap here over the last few months here. Have people feel something. Doesn't necessarily have to be all good. As long as you're making someone feel something, that's a good thing in this business.
Hey, you know what, Jim? We don't look back because we're not going that way.
Your name's ringing out in these streets, Sarge.
That's it, buddy. That's it.
Why don't you tell the people what's going on, specifically with the Patriots? They made a move with a tight end today. They said goodbye to a tight end. Gronk? Huh? Well, maybe, maybe not. Sarge is going to fill you in here, and then we'll continue the theme of common sense. Let's apply it, shall we? To the Boston Bruins. We'll do that right after the headlines here with Sarge on Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
They drop the puck. Bruins win it. Horn sounds. Two Titans entered, and the Boston Bruins will leave with 2 points. The Bruins with another convincing win, 4-1 over the Tampa Bay Lightning. They end the month of February 11-0-2 and snap the Lightning's franchise record 10-game winning streak.
Judd Surratt with the final call. The Bruins win over the Tampa Bay Lightning Thursday night at TD Garden. Building was up that night, and rightfully so for this team. It is Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Chris Gasper off today out in Indy covering the NFL Combine. So, again, the theme for today, I've been trying to have like a theme, a motif, if you will, about common sense. Let's apply common sense, not in all just our own personal lives and in the world, because we need it more than ever as the world just gets dumber by the day, but to even, stories surrounding Boston sports. Let's apply it to the Bruins. Let's not overthink things. They're going on a deep run, and they could even win the Stanley Cup. I truly believe that. There's an it factor there. I know that's maybe oversimplifying things, but as I announced yesterday on Felger and Maz, all aboard the bees train. If I didn't emphasize it enough after the win over San Jose, I'll do it again for, those that didn't hear it. All aboard the bees train. This team's legit. This team is showing toughness that we haven't seen from the Bruins and that it factor since, 2011 when they all aboard won the Stanley Cup. The Bruins beat up on a bit of a dead leg Tampa team, that was on the second of a back-to-back. They had beat the Rangers the night before. They played a ton of games in February, but they're still the best team in hockey. They were going for, their 50th win or whatever it was, ridiculous, and they were on a 10-game winning streak when they came into the Garden on Thursday night. That Domingue was standing on his head. It was excellent until the third period. Just really take a look at this team. It's the toughness. It's things like Chara getting into a scrap with Evander Kane earlier in the week when they were beating up on San Jose, a really damn good team that they've now beat twice this year. the continued great play recently from the kids in Heinen, the Brusque, Charlie McAvoy, the toughness, the balls, again, like you haven't seen since 2011. And that win on Thursday night, more than anything else, and wins against San Jose, win going a little bit back against Calgary. They've got two solid wins against the New York Islanders this year. They can hang with anybody. They can hang with anybody. Even going back to earlier in the season when it felt like, well, yeah, we're just going to be looking at like a lost season considering the injuries. When they had Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron out at the same time, they continued to keep their head above water. Even it was like you would tune in sometimes and be like, who is this guy? Who? I don't even know who the hell that is. They've got the it. And a lot of it hinges, obviously, if you know guys like Brandon Carlo, knock on wood, can continue to stay healthy, and you know that Tuukka Rask actually plays like you know what he's worth in the playoffs. So you know, there's ifs, but there's ifs in terms of the NHL playoffs anyway. There's the unpredictability factor. A goalie can get hot. Crazy things can happen. Seemingly, if you get that albatross of the President's Trophy hung on you, you're going to get skunked somewhere in the playoffs. So go ahead, Tampa, keep winning games. Get that President's Trophy. I have a feeling that they're going to get knocked off. Maybe it's the Bruins that end up doing it in the second round. I just, if I can proclaim the Celtics dead in the water, as I have now here for going on 2 weeks, because I don't think they're getting out of the East, I can be positive I can do the same thing with the Bruins just by using, guess what, common sense. There's that theme again. Just by looking at them, there's an it factor with this team. They're going to go deep. All aboard the Beast Train. To your call, 617-779-0985. One open line you want to join us. In fact, Joe and Lowell, you had a beast thought. Go ahead.
Hey there. So I'm just curious on your opinion. So you're saying that, you know, all aboard the Bruins train and Bruins, you know, it's a big possibility they can go to the final. So top five teams in the West are basically Calgary, San Jose, Vegas, Winnipeg, and Nashville. Not necessarily in that order, but those are the top five. Everyone else in the West is pretty much, you know, for lack of a better term, a wild card. So let's say for kicks that the Bruins do make it to the finals and they win the East. Out of those five teams in the West, who do you think is going to give the Bruins the most run for their money and the most games out of a seven-game series, and why? Thank you very much.
All right, really any of them. Nashville still scares me, even though I'm not really that much of a – I don't really believe in their goalie all that much. Look, you would – I just – selfishly, considering how the two games looked, I would hope for it to be San Jose. You know, you get some toughness there. They obviously want to scrap with you a little bit. You would have, I think that would just be a wildly entertaining series that would go six, probably seven games. And that they can even get there, no matter who the teams are. Give them to me. Vegas, too. I think the Bruins wouldn't. I think the Bruins would be able to handle that Vegas team. Selfishly, that's what I'm rooting for, too, because we'd get to go. And as much as I'm not into Vegas as I once was, it's for the Youngs. That would be great because I do desperately want to watch a Bruins road game in Las Vegas. That said, that they now have professional sports teams there. Like, how can you not be into that? If that was the finals, oh, it'd be phenomenal.
That was a good game a couple weeks ago there, too.
Yeah.
The overtime one.
Yeah. But
shootout.
It's San Jose, I think, you would get the most, you know, most bang for your buck if that was the finals. Yeah. I'm telling you, all aboard, get on the bees. Let's not overthink it. Gary, you have a thought on this?
What's the Bruins' record in the last 15 games against the defending Stanley Cup champs?
Defending?
I don't know, Gary.
The defending? 1-14.
Is it?
Against Braden Holtby?
You know what, Gary? Fine. They have the one, which was also overlooked. This is part of the it factor looking at this team. Not many people were paying attention today, that Sunday, when the Bruins played and beat Braden Holtby and the Washington Capitals 1-0, a game that would typically feel like a formality, right? Because it was played on Super Bowl Sunday, leading to the Patriots' win over the Rams. No, they were able to beat the Washington Capitals this year. You have the West Coast road trip, which they, you know, did as good as they ever did in franchise history on. Like, the Bruins have the it factor. They're going deep. I'm applying common sense. You can be negative Nelly about it and bring up the record, 1-14 against Holtby in the Washington Capitals. Fine.
Good that one was on the road, too.
Yeah.
At Washington.
No, they're going deep.
Yep.
Believe. It's okay to do.
Last year,
I haven't been that tainted by Felger and Mass that much, people.
No, yeah, Jim. Last year, they overachieved, and I think they were a year ahead of schedule. And now this is the team that we were thought to have, and this is what we got. And they're going to go deep.
I got to think about that for a second.
They overachieved
last year.
Yeah, they have.
I expected them to win a round, but I expected them to be.
I didn't see them beating Tampa. Did you?
No. That series. No, but that series went from hey, maybe to, wow, completely uncompetitive, yeah, just like that. So, straight, yeah. Overachieved. No, I think that they were, yeah, meh. Yeah, you can make a case there, Sarge. I got to think about that one for a minute.
Okay.
This is pretty much as we get towards the end of the show. I'll welcome pretty much calls on just about anything. So let's bring in KJ in Fall River, who wants to talk about the New England Revolution. Hey, KJ.
Hey, how's it going? Just a quick question for you. I mean, other than building a new stadium, which we know Kraft isn't going to do because he's investing in other opportunities, what are some things that you think the Reds can do to become more prevalent in the town?
KJ, I wish I had an answer for you. I do think it is as simple as a subway accessible stadium in and around the city, right? That you appease, you know, some of your fan base that might not be able to or be willing to drive all the way to Foxborough to go see a Revs match. Simple, sure, but I think that is the main answer.
Give me another one. Downsides. Look like a sellout.
Yeah.
More home field advantage.
Yeah, so but that would be part of building a new stadium.
But like maybe, I don't know, 10,000 at the most, maybe 5,000. Small.
Yeah, but
you got to go small.
There's areas in the MLS in this country where they're packing stadiums. I mean, the Atlanta United, which have now only been around for two or three seasons.
Orlando.
They fill that place with 70,000 people. They get more sellouts for the soccer team than they do the Atlanta Falcons in that.
That's
and
crazy.
They're a unique, because I keep wanting to point to them as what the Crafts should do with the Revolution, because but there's a weird phenomenon going with that's like a perfect storm with what's happening with Atlanta and that soccer club. I'm sorry, but hey, it's my time. I'm going to talk about this because I find it fascinating. They almost like overnight became a thing there, but it's a perfect storm of a very transient city. You have a team that I think people can finally call their own because it's such a transient city. Like if you show up there, like who gives a rat's ass about the Falcons or the Hawks or the Braves? You go there, you've been living for a few years. It's a cultural phenomenon. It's a thing. It's cheap. It's accessible. They're fan first. Like there's that thing that they hit it right. And they score goals and they're an entertaining team and they just won the MLS Cup last year. So I don't know if they're the comp to use, but man, they got it right in terms of the recipe. I don't know. I wish that they would fix it. I wish that they would build a stadium. I would like to care. Hopefully I'm not going to get in trouble considering they're kicking off their season later today against, is it FC Dallas, Sarge?
Yeah, Dallas. Yeah.
And where can people catch that?
Right here, 4:30.
All right, great. See, I would like to care. I'm jealous of what's going on in Atlanta. You see that the buzz that the team gets in Portland and in Seattle, like it's a thing. People come out in droves to see the MLS teams there. I don't know, but I think it starts with a stadium. I would love it. If you had a T-accessible, subway-accessible stadium right downtown, if you build it, they will come. I would go, because in some areas, it looks like an absolute blast. It would help if, you know, you had a winning club, too, a team that could win. Like, that's obviously helped Atlanta as well. With that, no more sports, eh? Let's do five questions for Sarge. Ooh. He's in. We have no Chris Gasper, so five questions got nothing to do with sports. You're on deck, Sarge. Get ready. I'm going to pepper you with these five questions right after this here on Gaspar Murray 98.5 of Sports Hub.
I got five questions from Chris Gasper of the Globe. I got five questions that got nothing to do with sports. I got five questions.
Five. One, two, three, four, five.
I got five questions. I hope this segment ain't too.
All right, filling in, coming from the on-deck circle for Chris Gasper, who was off today. Again, he was out at the NFL Scouting Combine. He'll rejoin the show next week. It is Mike Sarge Riley. Five questions for Sarge that have nothing to do with sports. All right, so Sarge, question number one.
Let's go.
Need you to weigh in on the most pressing matter in pop culture right now. Ugh. Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, are they doing each other?
No. I think, have you seen Bradley Cooper's girlfriend?
Yeah, the Iron Sheik or whatever her name is.
She is gorgeous. Not to say that they're doing anything off the side because it is Hollywood. Anything can happen there. I think if anyone's going to pursue it more, it's Lady Gaga. But I do not buy into that. So I am out on them having anything on the side.
See, I think that there is something going on there. I don't think that they're just playing it up. Lady Gaga made an appearance, I believe it was on Jimmy Kimmel earlier this week, where she downplayed everything. She even referenced that she was touring with Tony Bennett for a time when her career was kind of flailing about 5-6 years back. But I was under the impression then, Sarge, that Lady Gaga was doing old-ass Tony Bennett during that stretch. Because while she's not the most attractive woman in the world, there is she does exude a lot of sexual energy there. So I do think that she gets the, you know, the guy in the tractor beam, and then she's got him. So I think that there is something going on there. I think we'll have to agree to disagree. Question number two, Sarge. These days, dealing with a lot of disconnected conversations, people distracted by screens, multitasking. Do you consider yourself a good listener, or are you usually, you know, looking at the phone while someone's trying to have a conversation with old Sarge?
No, you know, it's funny because I was on the way back from Foxwoods today with Joe Murray. We had a wrestling show last night, and Joe was having a conversation with me. Very easy to listen to in the car while he was driving. But when I had my phone up there, he was saying something like, wait, what's that, Joe? So I'm making the effort. I've made the promise to myself at the beginning of the year to put the phone away when you're having a conversation like you and I are right now, face to face, because it's not fair. You got to be polite and show some class and respect to the other person. So I think that's a major problem with people today. Society at its best.
Yeah, if you're at dinner, put the phone away. But like in the car, you're on a long road trip, something like that. Like,
but you're in the middle of a conversation, and he's like, "Did you hear what I just said? Oh, say it again, Joe. Forget it."
I know, but believe me, you just because I'm definitely guilty of this too. You know, many times I get a dirty look from the lady on the couch, like, "You didn't even hear what I just said." Like, yeah, I got to be better about that too. Question number three, Sarge. Beverly Hills 90210 returning to Fox this summer with the original cast. Obviously, excluding Luke Perry, who never signed on to the project and unfortunately suffered a massive stroke this week. Did you like 90210? Do you care that it's coming back?
Don't care. Never watched it.
Same here. Yep. Question number four. On the Ron Burgundy podcast, I didn't even mean to say it that way like he did in the movie. I didn't know that existed. But either way, apparently Ron himself revealed that he ranked his list of the 10 greatest women of all time. Who is one woman or man that you would like to have a meal or a conversation with, Sarge?
Oh, Giselle, definitely. I want to get information on Brady. I'd like to get to Tom Brady and at least shake his hand and say thank you very much at one point, not to be the fan of myself. That's number one in my book.
So you try to get to Brady through Giselle?
Absolutely.
So it's ultimately Brady is who you're saying.
Well, he's not a, you know, I just would like to be in the presence of Tom Brady via Giselle.
I don't know if I care about actually meeting anyone famous, because I feel like anyone like you're going to meet like that is just going to disappoint you. So it's there's a lot of the off-field stuff, now that you mentioned Tom Brady, there's off-field stuff with Tom Brady I've found like, ugh.
Yeah.
My favorite athlete of all time. It's been a joy to root for him, but I never want to meet him. I never, ever want to meet him because in the off chance that he would be like a kind of a dick, it would just kind of, I don't know, it ruins it. I truly believe, like, never meet your heroes. I'm a firm believer in
that. I'll give you that. I mean, not saying that I'm attracted to her or anything, but I would also like to have a dinner with Stephanie McMahon. She can get me to Vince McMahon, who is my Walt Disney.
Working those angles, Sarge. I like it. Right, final question. List of bucket list getaways for couples published earlier this week. It includes places like Japan, California, the Maldives, Paris. What sort of places make your travel bucket list, Sarge?
Ooh, you know, I've never been to Hawaii. Heard great things about it.
That's now Hawaiian list. Airlines will take you right here from Boston, right out of Logan. 12-hour flight.
Go direct, huh?
That's right, Sarge.
Okay, that's on my list. And I've also heard great things about Australia. I'd like to check that out. So,
yeah, I'd love to go to Tokyo. I've wanted to go since I was a kid. I was a video game dork growing up. Mm. Love gadgets. I feel like I would be the tallest person, or I'd be like Godzilla if I went to Tokyo. So, might be an off-color joke, but I'm going to make it anyway. All right, well, Sarge, thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
I want to thank Sarge and Tim McCone, who were alongside here today on this Casper List, Casper and Murray, Tracy Clements for producing the show as well, and you, if you called in, 617-779-0985, a number you will need if you want to join Matt McCarthy, who is coming up next. Hauling you on here for, Matt.
On for 2.5 hours, taking us up until the revolution at, what, FC Dallas today?
Yep.
Revs starting out their season, so yeah, we'll be on for 2.5 hours. No Gasper today. Guess the snow scared him off. Okay, I know he's an Indy. No Jones. This is supposed to be Jones.
So I heard.
So I guess the snow scared him off, so we're going to do the anti-Jones thing. You know, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to be really nice, and, you know, we're not going to rip any... No, actually, we're going to... basically do what Jones does.
I was going to say, you notice the lights are a lot brighter here without Jones?
Yeah.
There is Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Mm. Prince of Darkness.
Yeah. Are you starting Celtics? What are you going to be crapping on first?
Open up with the Celtics. Are they the most disappointing team we've had in this town for a long time?
Mm.
And I would say yes. And there's a team that comes to mind that was really, really, really disappointing. Granted, they had a big collapse. I think there are a lot of parallels there. I want to open there. Bruins as well, of course. We're going to hit everything in the next 2.5 hours. Patriots, even some Red Sox, Mookie Betts. Big week for him, obviously, with Bryce Harper signing. And you know what? We might even do a Revs minute 429. How about that?
I've been thinking about that, too, since one of those last calls that I took. The Revs, like, how can you, I don't know, make them a more palatable product to the general public? And I'm not the biggest soccer guy, but if you had that stadium downtown, I think for a lot of people, like,
that's how you build it, they will come. I am one of those people.
Two things. You need the stadium downtown near the T, and you need a legit international superstar, which is what MLS is doing. You know, you see like Ibrahimovic going to LA. That's what they need. They need, you know, somebody that casual fans are going to say, oh, yeah, I've seen that guy play in the World Cup. Yeah, he's 34 years old, but we need him here, and we need a stadium. That's how the Revs become big. Until then, no.
Yeah,
not going to happen.
There's proof of that, too, because if there was a time I was the PA guy for the, like, do they still exist anymore? The Boston Breakers, the women's professional club that
no,
was here?
No, they folded.
And there was a, but on one of the opposing teams, there was this girl from Brazil.
Marta?
Marta. And she was like the Babe Ruth of women's soccer. And that was the one game I did. I was like, holy crap. Like, it was one of those things. Yep. If you have a star, they're going to put asses in seats. So that's part of it, too. All right. We have spoke too much, or at least I have. I got to get out of here. Make way for Matt McCarthy. You want to join him? 617-779-0985. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Talk to you Monday with Felger and Mazza, too. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.